So how you guys doing? You doing pretty good? Yeah? You're not going to let a couple of technical difficulties slow you down, right? You guys with me? How many people love Jesus more than a comfortable experience? And how many people know that when stuff goes wrong, that's a good sign that God's about to do something right? Well, we got a fun topic tonight. We're obviously talking about how it's complicated. And if you are an American, you have a pulse, then you may or may not have realized that relationships are complicated, right? Got to get an amen on that. Relationships are complicated. So with that said, how many of you still, even though relationships are complicated, how many still want to get married one day? All right. That's pretty good, okay? Other of you, you don't want to get married, that's fine. But most of us want to get married in this room. So here's what I've learned, okay? The number one question that I get from students when it comes to sex and relationships and dating is they say this. They say, Blake, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it talks about dating, right? Have you ever felt like this? Blake, is there in there? What does the Bible say about dating? And in reality, the Bible has a lot to say about dating and sex. And not only that, I got to be honest with you, it's been my experience that when you do what the Bible says, your life just turns out better. It does. There's something amazing about how God gave us truth in a book, and when we apply it to our lives, it changes us. Now, there's two types of groups of people in the room right now. The first group, you would be in the category that I am, which is the category of married. Are there any married people in the room? Nice. You guys have, like me, exchanged your true love weights ring for a true love weighted ring, and it's glorious. And so that's the married side. Now, how many of you are unmarried in the house? Do I have any unmarried people? All right. Keep your hands high. Don't say anything. Just keep your hands high. All right. Fellows, I'm looking out for you. Here are all the single ladies. Okay. You can go ahead and put your hand down. Well, you guys see behind us, we have this big, huge bridge. And you've probably been wondering all night, why in the world do they have a big, huge bridge on the stage? And the reality is that I have this idea that when it comes to dating, right, so we have married people, we have unmarried people, that every culture has a different way of crossing the bridge from unmarried to married. So some cultures, it's prearranged marriage. It's, hi, Susie, this is Tom. You've never met before. He's your husband. Have a great day, right? And that's a way that other people, in our culture, we'd call it maybe dating or courting or, hey, my dad doesn't let me go out past 5:30. And so we have a bunch of different styles of getting from married to unmarried. And, I think that the Bible has a lot to say about whatever bridge you choose, whether that be dating, courting, or if you're still trying how to tell your dad that you like boys and you're 17, right? It's like the Bible has a lot of wisdom to say about all this. And so my question to you is this. On the bridge from married, or the bridge from unmarried to married, if somebody's dating or courting, are they married yet? No. Right, we know that, right? And so here's the reality. The Bible has a whole lot to say about dating, courting, whatever you want to call it. It's whatever the Bible says is what your life is supposed to look like when you're unmarried. That's what your dating life should look like. It's all in there, right? But we want to make a different category. Now, this is kind of tricky, so I want to introduce you to some of my friends. I want to invite my friend John and Anna out. So everybody say, hey, John, hey, Anna. Now, John and Anna, they don't know it yet, but they have been praying, Lord, please send me that special someone. Here you go, Anna. I'm going to get this out of your way. They're praying, Lord, please send me that special someone. And today's their lucky day because the Lord has heard their prayer, and he's about to let them be introduced for the very first time. And so let's go ahead and sneak peek in on this young couple's relationship that's about to begin. All right, let's go ahead and thank our cast. That was very well done. I'm very thankful for all their hard work. Now, tonight, I do not know where you are on the bridge. I have no idea where you are. You might still be waiting for God to bring that special someone to you. Maybe you're thinking about compromising your integrity just to get the attention of that certain someone. Maybe you feel like you're in love and it's wonderful. Maybe you've already compromised. Maybe you're thinking about compromising. And maybe you've believed the lie that compromising your purity is okay because you're going to get married one day. Listen, wherever you are on the bridge tonight, I have one thing I would ask of you, and that is to give your life to Jesus, because he loves you and he knows what's best for you and he knows how you work because he made you. I believe that for so many in this room, tonight's going to change your life, because tonight's going to be the first time you understand your value. And so I just want to begin by praying and just asking that the Lord would begin even now showing you how much you're worth to him. So Father, we just ask you right now, I pray that your word would just pierce people's hearts. We invite your presence into this place. God, I ask that for every young man and woman who is sitting here, and even now, the devil is trying to bring shame and condemnation, and they feel hopeless. God, I'm thankful that because of Jesus Christ, they're never hopeless, that there is no shame, and there is no condemnation, and you say you're going to make all things new. So Lord, we just pray for release of your grace in this place. We ask that you would open our eyes to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I got to be honest with you. Talking about sex in front of this many people, and I'm no sexpert. I'm not. However, I'll just give you an example. Okay, so I got married this past May, okay, which was awesome. Here is how the very first date with my wife went, okay? So we're just now dating. I don't know if she knows that I like her. I don't know if she knows that at all. So we go to the beach. We play volleyball. She's awesome at volleyball. I'm like, this girl's really cool. Then I'm like, hey, this is perfect. Let's go get ice cream. So we get ice cream, and there we are sitting over ice cream. And I'm thinking, this is a perfect time to throw that hint. You know what I'm talking about? That, hey, I'm into you hint. Not that, hey, I'm happy we're friends, but I really like you. And so I'm trying to find out some way. So I shared the three words every girl wants to hear. I said, Sierra, eyes, pretty. And then I just kind of sat there and was like, there's no way that that just happened to me. I mean, how do you recover? So I did what all of us guys do when we're in that situation. I'm just like, I pray to God that the smile will cover the mistake. But guess what? It must have worked, because I got married 5 years later. In fact, my wife's here tonight. If you would stand up, baby, because I need everyone to say. Everybody say, hey, Sierra. I wanted her to stand up because of one point. One, my wife is hot. And guess what? She was really hot when we were dating too. Okay, this wasn't this like ugly swan experience where we got married and then she came up into the sky, wrapped in light, began to twirl, and was transformed right before my very eyes. Okay, it doesn't happen that way. And we dated for 5 years. We met in high school. And it's hard to pursue purity when you're with someone that long, especially when you love them. And here's the one thing I always want to know. God, why, God, did you create me with the desire to have sex before I can have sex? Is anybody else with me? Like, doesn't it make more sense to get to, like, not even have that as a factor until you're already married? And I'm always like, God, why in the world? Why did you give me a sex drive before I needed it? And we're going to talk about that tonight, because through God, he gave us the grace to wait, and I believe that tonight he can bestow that same grace on you. So here's a couple of ground rules. Here's the things you need to know first. One, God loves you. Everybody say, God loves me. He loves you. Number two, he made you. Everybody say, he made me. And he knows how you work best. Everyone say, he knows me. God, when you've created the first human beings, Adam and Eve, I promise you this. When they had sex, he was not surprised. He did not come waltzing through the Garden of Eden and was like, wow, I never thought that that was possible. It didn't work that way, because he created them. In fact, let me read you the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. This is Bible language. It's a secret code. It means make stuff and do it. That's the Bible code. There's a point in time where the only commandment that human beings have is to be fruitful and multiply. Now, here's the reality. This is what we know then. Sex is good. God made everything, stepped back and said, sex is good. Sex isn't dirty. It's not something to be ashamed of. And MTV did not make it up. Sex is good according to God. Sex outside of marriage isn't. And we have to remember this. Sex is good. Now, here's the deal. I talked earlier about why did God give us a sex drive? Why do we all have this sex drive? It's like an appetite. A drive or an appetite is something that it's always there. You'll never be able to totally satisfy it in such a way that it's gone forever. So we all have a hunger appetite. Okay, you guys tracking with me? How many people know that no matter how much you eat today, you're going to be hungry tomorrow? Right? It happens. We all have a hunger appetite. Now, how many people know that if you don't steward your hunger appetite well, so you go to McDonald's and get 4 Big Macs every single day, and you eat lots and lots of candy, how many people know that by mismanaging your food appetite, your food drive, how many people know that by mismanaging that, you're going to hurt and ruin your life? It's the same way with our sex drive and our sex appetite. If we don't know how to steward it well, then it has the potential of ruining our life. And here is why I believe to my core that God gives us a sex drive before we have the ability to use it. Here's it. It forces you to make a decision. And here's the decision that you have to make. God's best or compromise. It forces you to make a decision. See, anyone can give away something expensive, but only those who understand sacrifice can give away something valuable at the right time and to the right person. And as you handle your sex appetite with discipline, the value of your future marriage relationship increases and it becomes an incredible experience. Basically, if I could put it anyway, this is how I put it. God gives you a sex drive before you need it because the intensity of the game determines the value of the trophy. The intensity of the game determines the value of the trophy. I was fortunate enough in high school to play on one of the greatest soccer teams that the state of Florida high school has ever seen. We won the state championship, and on that glorious ride to the state championship, all through high school, I had always wanted to win a state championship. And my freshman year, I was at the same high school as Tim Tebow. Now, wow, all right. How many people know that if you want to win a state championship, just play whatever sport he's playing, and you're going to be okay? Now, the problem is that I felt a calling on my life to be a part of Youth Quick Live. Now, I have no idea I'm going to go on staff. I have no idea that on February 1st, 2013, I'll be speaking to all of you. I have none of this. I'm just a freshman in high school feeling like God's calling me to be part of Youth Quick Live, and Youth Quick's on Friday nights, and that's when varsity football is. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, there goes my chance of winning a state championship. And so I said no to football and said yes to Youth Quick Live. I just felt like that was God's particular calling on my life, and so I pursued it. Now, soccer was more flexible. They didn't have many games on Friday night, so I took up soccer, started my sophomore year. JV the first year, then I made it to varsity my junior year. And throughout this, I could just tell the story for a long time, but it was a difficult journey getting there. I had to make some sacrifices and lose it. But guess what? When I sat there and the time expired on that championship game, how many people know that when I finally got to hold that state championship medal in my hand, it had extra value? I looked at that and said, man, God, I believed you for big things. I knew that I was following you when I did Youth Quick Live. And the value of the medal had extra weight because of the sacrifice that it had taken to get there. This is why God gives us a sex drive. The intensity of the game determines the value of the trophy at the end. Let me give you a quote. This is a quote from a book that I highly recommend. It's called Moral Revolution. If you really want to get some real good insights on what does it look like to live a life of purity, Moral Revolution's a great book. And I'm going to read you this. The greater the battle, the more meaningful your purity is when you finally lie with your lover. This is the reason you have a sex drive before you should have sex, so that you can give your lover something you had to fight to keep. But the war isn't over on your honeymoon night. No way. The strategy changes, but the battle remains as you fight to keep your affections unpolluted and unspoiled for the woman or man of your dreams in the midst of a cesspool of dark that this world has exchanged love for lust. I have a question for you tonight. How much and how valuable is your purity? How valuable is your purity? In Brazil, they recently had one of the worst ideas I've ever seen in my entire life as they auctioned off people's virginity. And the highest auction was a young lady by the name of Caterina Magalarini. She sold her virginity for $780,000. Let me ask you, is that how much you're worth, $780,000? If Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom for your life, do you think Jesus Christ is worth $780,000? No. You're worth far more than that. And here, let's just take a moment right now because I can already feel it happening, okay? Here's what's happening when good preaching is happening. This is good preaching, okay? Here's what happens. When it starts, the devil comes in, and if you've already compromised and you've already gone too far, he starts to twist things and starts saying that you're hopeless and that you have a lot to be ashamed of. Guess what? Jesus is greater, and if you give your life to him tonight, he'll make all things new. So don't let your brain go there right now. Don't let your brain go there. Tonight is not about virginity, it's about purity. And there is a huge difference. It's not about guarding some rule, it's about guarding your heart. I have no idea where you're coming from, but chances are if you're alive, you've already done something that you regret when it comes to your purity. Many of you, you have had horrible things done to you that you didn't want and you didn't choose. And guess what? Here's the good news. Jesus Christ is bigger. He's bigger. He can make all things new. He extends his hand to you today. I want to throw a verse up on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And here's my question is, do you belong to Jesus? Do you have a new life with him? Here's what happens when we boil purity down to virginity instead of keeping it at a bigger level. And I'm really upset about this because I see it happening all the time. Studies show that of the students who will sign a True Love Weight card, so what we're talking about tonight, if you choose to make this about virginity instead of purity, and there's a big difference, because how many people know there's a lot of gray area? There's a big gray area. And if it's about virginity and not purity, here's what statistics show, that out of those who sign a True Love Weight commitment card and do not have sex before their wedding night, over 55% acknowledge having participated in oral sex. Here's the idea. We've made it about virginity and not purity. And I'm calling you to a higher standard. I'm not saying find the little creeks and the cracks in the gray area. I'm not trying to say how close can you get to sin without being burnt. I'm trying to see how close can you get to God and burn for him. And there's a humongous difference between virginity and purity. And I'm calling you to purity tonight. Now, if you're here and you're a virgin, I just want to say good job. Keep it up. I'm not down on you. I was a virgin when I got married, and it was something I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me to just have that opportunity to grow up in a Christian family where I didn't get exposed to a lot of stuff early on in life, and I had a fighting chance. Some of you guys didn't get that. Some of you need a second chance to be your first chance, and you're going to get that tonight. But if you're a virgin and it's about virginity to you instead of purity, what happens when you get married? What then? Where will your value be? And if you're here tonight, and you're not a virgin, there's healing in the name of the power of Jesus. Revelations 21:5 tells us, he who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And this is from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus is making all things new, including right now in this room. I have two younger brothers. You saw one of them earlier today. He was the no you didn't linebacker. That's my brother Brad. He played football, as you can probably tell. And then I have another brother. His name is Benjamin. And Benjamin's 4 years younger than me. Now, growing up, I had a learning curve on him because he was younger than me. And so what I used to do is every time Ben would get money, I would take pennies because they were shiny. And I would go up to Ben when he was little, and I would say, hey, Ben, I see you have this really lame green piece of paper. And I got these two really shiny pennies. Two really shiny pennies, one lame green piece of paper. Two pennies, and they're shiny, one piece of paper. Do you want to trade? And every single time, they'd be like, absolutely, that's a great trade. And so he would trade me $5, $10, $20 bills for my two pennies. Right? And I never had to get a job until he figured it out. And here's the idea. A lot of you right now, you have no idea how much you're worth, and you've been trading with pennies your whole life. You have no idea how much you're worth. You are worth far more than you give yourself credit for. Far more. And I'm here tonight to say stop treating your life like your penny and recognize the value that God's put inside you. To him, you're priceless. You're incredibly valuable. Jesus has paid for you at a high price. Now, let's take it back to the bridge. All right, you guys remember the bridge? We talked about how there's two categories, married and unmarried. And I told you that, I mean, if you want to know what the Bible says about dating, look to whatever the Bible says about what your life's supposed to look like before you're married, and there's your guidebook to dating. I'll give you an example. In my life with Sierra, I referred to Sierra as much as possible as my friend until the day we were engaged. I remember it. It was the week before I was going to propose to her. I was guest speaking at a church, and I introduced her. I said, "Hi, this is my friend Sierra." And we're like a week away from getting engaged. We've been together for 4.5 years. Why? I have no ownership rights over her. None. We're on a bridge. We're not there yet. Does this make sense? We don't want to make a different category and said, in this different category, there's room for compromise. And then people say, "But Blake, then what's different from dating and any other friendship?" Here's the deal. Disney has lied to all of us. Okay, Disney's lied to all of us. We grew up assuming that kiss and true love were the same thing. Right? I mean, how do you know that the characters are in love? When they finally have true loves first, right? I mean, that's how you know you're in love, right? It's true love's first kiss. We grew up thinking that kiss and true love are synonyms, the same thing. I'm here to tell you, you can have a whole lot of kiss and totally miss true love. Totally miss it. Disney lied to all of us. And there's a higher place of purity that I want to call you to. You know, people always move faster when they're afraid things aren't going to last. And here's why people do this. I want to introduce you to something called sex math, okay? We all know that the more physical you are with someone, the harder it is to break up, the more involved you are. Mark 10, verses 6 through 9. I'm going to read it to you. Jesus was teaching once about marriage. He says this, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one." Everybody say one. "They're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate." Now, you've been taught your entire life that 1 plus 1 equals 2. And in math, that's correct. But in sex, it's very incorrect. In sex, it's 1 plus 1 equals 1. 1 plus 1 equals 1. It's the act of two people becoming one. Here's why. I don't know if anyone's ever told you this. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this. But do you realize that sex has a purpose? It has a purpose. It's not just a physical thing. It has a purpose because God created us with intentionality. See, in marriage, sex works to strengthen the relationship by bringing two people together, binding them together. Now, outside of marriage, this can be very, very dangerous because it's never a winning scenario. You're binding yourself to someone that you're not committed to. You're moving on without God's blessing on one of the most important areas of your life. You're eventually going to either self-destruct. How many times have we seen that happen with our friends, right? Eventually, you're going to self-destruct. You're going to have fear, jealousy, or here's the worst scenario. You're going to move through life pretending like you're okay, ignoring God's voice in your life, and you're going to keep going down that path, and it's going to get worse and worse. And no, I'm about to ruin some dude's day. It does not matter if you're going to get married one day. I just ruined some guy's day. All right, here's the deal. If you're compromising right now, you're moving through life without God's grace in this area. You're going to reap what you sow. You don't want to carry this into marriage. This isn't in my notes, this is for free, but I feel very inclined to share this with you. Culture has so set the bar so low for you, set the bar so low for all of us. I'm 22, I'm not much older than many of you. And culture has so set the bar so incredibly low for us. And it's destroying our generation. Let's just be real about it. I want to call you to purity tonight. If I could get the band to come back out. I'm going to read you. It's a parable in the Bible. You guys just come out and just start playing something pretty. It's Proverbs chapter 7. And can we get this one on the screen? Because it's kind of lengthy. Are we able to get Proverbs 7 on the screen? All right, here's what I want you to do. Okay, I'm going to read almost an entire chapter of the Bible. I want everyone in here to close your eyes. Because some of you are, oh, there it is, it's on the screen. You can read it if you want, or you can close your eyes, and I'm going to share it to you like a story. "As I stood at the window of my house, looking out through the shutters, watching the mindless crowd stroll by, I spotted a young man without any sense, arriving at the corner of the street where she lived, then turning up the path to her house. It was dusk. The evening came on, the darkness thickening into night. Just then, a woman met him. She'd been lying in wait for him, dressed to seduce him. Brazen and brash she was, restless and roaming, never at home, walking the streets, loitering in the mall, hanging out at every corner in town. Here we go. Before we go on at all, I want you to catch this. This is not about a girl seducing a guy. I don't want it to be about this. This as easily be flipped to be about a guy trying to seduce a young woman. But when I read this, it sounds like America. There it is at the mall. There it is around the corner. There it is at every single place. There it lies in waiting. I'm going to keep reading. She threw her arms around him and kissed him, boldly took his arm and said, "I've got all the makings for a feast. Today I made my offerings, my vows are all paid. So now I've come to find you, hoping to catch sight of your face, and here you are. I've spread fresh, clean sheets on my bed, colorful imported linens. My bed is aromatic with spices and exotic fragrances. Come, let's make love all night. Spend the night in ecstatic lovemaking. My husband is not at home. He's away on business, and he won't be back for a month." Soon, she has him eating out of her hand, bewitched by her honeyed speech. Before you know it, he's trotting behind her like a calf led to the slaughter, like a stag lured into ambush, then shot with an arrow, like a bird flying into a net, not knowing that its flying life is over. The first time I read this passage in the Bible, the phrase "led like a calf to the slaughter" completely jumped out at me. And so I was interested in how that process looks. And so I looked it up on YouTube. And here's what is very interesting about cows. They're herd creatures. So if you've ever seen like a ranching movie or whatever, it's very easy to get cows to go in the same direction. You just have to get a couple going, and then all the other cows assume that if that's where cows are going, that's the safe direction. And so cows just follow all the other cows. And so in slaughterhouses, it's very easy to slaughter cows. This is all you have to do is you line them up in a row, and then you get them into like, you know, kind of a tight corridor. And then the cow at the front of the line, this is how they kill them. They'll take a bolt gun and they'll shoot a bolt right between the cow's head. So it kills it pretty much instantly. They'll come behind it, and then they'll wrap up its feet and then dangle it upside down. They'll come back in with a sickle. They'll cut the cow from the top all the way down so its blood, guts, or have an opportunity to come out. And every other cow in line can see what's happening to this cow. But they're cows, and so they assume that if all the other cows are going this direction, this must be the safe direction. And then the next cow steps up, gets a bolt right between the eyes, dangled upside down, cut down the middle. And every other cow can see what is going on at the end of the line, but they choose not to do anything different because all the other cows are going this direction. It must be the safe direction. And this is our culture. Everybody's going one direction, and we assume that if they're going that direction, that must be the safe path. But it's not. It's not the safe path. I'm calling you to step out tonight. Step out of the line. Turn around and pursue Jesus. Go the other way. Look down at the end of the line. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. We have entire magazines dedicated to people who walk the line. We call them celebrities, and their lives are awful. You do not want to be like them. Don't go down the line. Step out. I implore you with everything that I have in me, and I don't know many of you, but you have to understand my life is for you. I have great love for you. And I want you so desperately to step out of the line and pursue Jesus. This is not about virginity. This is about purity. I don't care where you're coming from. I want you to step out of line and pursue Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold and very courageous. When you came in here tonight, you should have received a card. It looks, I have one. I want to show it to you. It's red, and it says "True Love Waits" on it. I do not like fakes and hypocrites. If you're not legit about this, it's okay to stay sitting today. If you want to step out of the line, if you can look down and say, "I see where this path ends. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to step out and I want to pursue Jesus." If this is something you want to do, then I want you to take this card. I want you to sign it. We have pins all along the pews in front of you. After you sign yours, look to see if anybody else needs it. Pass the pins around. And in a moment, if this is something you want to do, I'm going to ask you to stand. And it's going to be brave and it's going to be bold, but I'm going to ask you to stand as just a declaration that you're choosing to step out of the line and pursuing purity. Let me give you just a few more seconds so that everyone can get the pins around. If you don't have a card, We'll make sure you get a card before you leave today. You can go by the Youth Quick Live merch table and grab one. All right, I'm going to give you 10 more seconds. Don't fake this. Only do this if you're legit. 5 more seconds. All right, here's what we're going to do. If you want to step out of line and commit to purity, I want you to go ahead and stand up right now. Just want you to go ahead and stand up right now, wherever you are. All right, stay standing, stay standing. I know, it's embarrassing, it's awkward. It's okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read this together for those of you who are standing. We're going to read this out together as a declaration and as a commitment that today we're giving ourselves fully to the Lord and to pursue purity. I'm going to start it. You guys all say it out loud with me, okay? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Today, I... There we go. Let's give a hand clap for these guys. All right, stay standing. Stay standing. I know some of you want to sit back down. This is my favorite part. I want to pray for you. As someone that's just one step ahead of you on this journey, I want to pray for you. So if you guys would, just let me pray with you real fast. God, I ask for your incredible grace to cover every young person that's making this commitment right now. Lord, when it's a hard and a lonely night, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be the great comforter. When the devil comes to tempt us to compromise, I pray you would remind us of the great purpose that you have for our life, the purpose that we're given before we were ever born. And when it comes to the fakes and the people that are going to try and get with us that are not who you have created us to be with, I pray that you give everyone wisdom to wait for that right person. God, I'd feel inclined to pray that in areas where our parents may have failed, that we would do better. We ask, God, that right now you would just renew, you would refresh, you would restore us in every way when it comes to our purity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you guys can take a seat. I'm proud of you guys. There's one more thing we need to do tonight before we end. Some of you need to give your life to Jesus. And it's the best decision that you will ever make. And it needs to happen. And you know it does. And I'm going to make it as easy as possible for you. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you, to bring full forgiveness and full restoration into your life. If you've never given your life to God, I want to give you the opportunity to in just a moment. If you have given your life to him before, but you've walked away, and you're now stepping out of line, you're coming back to him, I want you to respond tonight as well. And if you are here, and you just really just want to say, God, I am sorry for my sin. I admit that what I've done is wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. If you want to come and just spend some time with God, asking for forgiveness from sexual immorality in your life, I want you to come down here too. And the band's just going to lead us in a worship song. I want you to come down here. I just want you to get on one knee in front of the altar. I just want you to sing out to God. I'm going to come back and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to count to three. And if you need to give your life to Jesus, if you need to recommit your life to Jesus, if you need to come and say, God, I ask for your forgiveness for what I've done sexually, I want you to come down on the count of three. You think standing up was awkward. Wait till you walk down. The Bible says that whoever acknowledges God publicly here on earth, Jesus will acknowledge us in front of God. But whoever denies him publicly, Jesus denies us in front of him. Why? Because you can't have faith in something if you aren't willing to take a stand for it. I mean, that's that you have to. So I want you to be very brave and very courageous right now. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would draw everyone who needs to respond today. Come down on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. you're on the balcony, we're going to wait for you. Just come down here, take a knee, and let's worship the Lord together.